Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
So good, so good, so good.
Just in and so good. Thousands of winter deals are in Nordstrom Rack stores now. And that means thousands of fresh reasons to rack.
Because we get the latest trends for way less.
Because I've been looking for these.
Because the best deals go fast.
Save big with up to 60% off. Sam Edelman, Sorel, Free People, Cole Haan, and more cold weather finds. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Bombas presents unsolicited gifting advice. Number one, if they say not to get them anything, get them something. Two, underwear is a great gift, just not for your boss. And three, those absurdly soft Bombas socks and slippers you've been eyeing for yourself, they'll love those. And the fact that for every item you purchase, another is donated to someone who needs it, they'll love that even more.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow. Styles that bring joy to your world. Brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more. And deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
And welcome, everybody, to this week's exciting episode.
Strawberry milk is vegan because it comes from a strawberry and not a cow. Show me the tit on a strawberry.
That is a really good meme.
That's my favorite meme.
I don't know where you found that. You showed it me earlier and I creased. That was perfect little intro.
Sending it to a few people. It really tickles me. I watched it like 6 times on repeat, one after the other, because it just tickled me so much. Yeah.
It wouldn't even know from looking at you at the moment, because you've got that blooming great mask on your face.
I have, yeah.
For those who are watching YouTube, and for those who are just listening to the audio, if Josh's voice sounds a little muffled this week, it's kind of my fault. Mm. Because I recently got back from a holiday from Italy, got off a plane 3 days ago, and this morning I woke up with the sniffles, and I had a bit of a fever last night, and because where we work on the farm, a few people have had COVID lately, it kind of made me a little bit paranoid, particularly since Josh told me the other week that whenever he's got the sniffles, he always does one of those fast flow tests, whatever they're called. Mm. I haven't done one in like 3 years since my mum died, or 2 years, whenever it was. But I tried to get one on the way home from work and they'd sold out in the shop. So I haven't been able to test. So Josh, being paranoid as he is now wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. And I'm just letting the germs flow freely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Although we do have the door open, so we've got some ventilation.
But I also think because you're the one doing the presentation today, it makes sense for me to have the mask, because then you can talk freely. And
well, next week you can give me the mask and I'll...
Yeah.
That wouldn't work, would it?
No, because neither of us will have COVID next week. But yeah, no, as far as we know, we're both all right.
I don't think it is COVID, but better safe than sorry.
Yeah. We've been through the wars this week.
Care and share.
Yeah, but
you've been particularly through the wars this week.
Yeah, I have.
You've had a probably worse time than I mean, because I didn't really enjoy Italy, but that's not that's nothing compared to your story.
Yeah, It seems that every time one of us goes away, the other one gets injured.
Mm.
So when, I think it was last year or the year before.
Yeah, when you went on your honeymoon, I broke my foot.
Yeah.
And now when I went on holiday this year, you had a car crash.
Mm. I didn't have a car crash.
Well, someone crashed into you.
Someone crashed into me. And legally, I can say no more.
<laughs> So, no. But it couldn't have happened at a worse time either, as you were about to move house.
Yeah, yeah, 6 days or 7 days away from moving house. So now I've got that added to the stress.
Yeah.
And now I'm wearing a mask. So it's all gone Pete Tong.
Yeah.
But that's just how dedicated we are to this podcast, isn't it? That's how dedicated we are.
Even when disaster strikes, we're still here with an episode for you at home.
Yeah. And if you see me moving my head in weird ways, it's because I have a bad neck because of the car accident.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You've been on light duties, actually.
Light duties, paracetamol, ibuprofen, all the anti-inflammatories.
We both of us rattling from the amount of pills that we're taking at the moment, to be fair.
Yeah. So here we are.
Yeah.
What a great Tuesday.
We can't even take a week off because we haven't got enough in the bank to do that. We've got like next week's episode.
Yeah.
And that's it. So, you know, in the interest of having a weekly podcast, never failing our devoted listeners, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a good one.
Oh, what have you got for us?
It's inspired by Italy.
Well,
to a certain extent. Because in northern Italy, there is a mountain range called the Dolomites.
Oh, that sounds nice, actually. It sounds like a dessert.
It does.
I'll have a scoop of Dolomites, please.
Yeah. Yeah. A gelato Dolomite, please.
Oh, that sounds great. Extra pistachios.
The Dolomite mountain range. I've seen like Bear Grylls go there on some of his programs and stuff. Like, can be quite a hazardous place to visit.
Mm.
But it is quite popular for experienced mountain climbers.
Oh, it's a proper mountain.
Oh, a proper one. Yeah, oh, yeah. You're going to need a bit of experience to go up there.
You can't walk it then.
It's not a scramble.
Right, I'm with you.
No, we're talking proper mountains. You know, like, it's basically kind of like an offshoot of the Alps, if you like.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? It's kind of, it's almost the same mountain range. I mean, it might even be attached to the Alps, but it's classed as its own mountain range. And a lot of hikers and mountain climbers that go there do often, you know, get into troublesome situations.
Mm.
And there has been quite a lot of reports of people experiencing something that they call third man syndrome.
Never heard of it. Is it when you get like delusional from being up a mountain and you think there's three versions of yourself?
Not quite.
Oh. Am I somewhat close?
It's just somewhat close. Oh. It's not caused by like altitude sickness or, you know, don't become delusional. What it is when people tend to be in perilous situations, as people do on the Dolomites, you know, occasionally, when they get in trouble, they often imagine or believe that there's somebody there with them, offering them advice or, you know, just helping them through it.
Okay.
Yeah?
I have a question already.
Go for it.
Why is it not called second man syndrome?
I will get to that.
Okay.
I will get to that. It's very closely related to having a guardian angel, if you like. And I'll bring some stories in towards the end that kind of almost fuse the two together. But we'll start dive in firstly with classic third man syndrome. Now, third man syndrome, it was called third man syndrome, or the third man factor, after a man named Ernest Shackleton. Have you ever heard of him?
No, but that's a cool name.
It's a good name, isn't it? He's a very great man, to be fair. He was an Irish explorer.
Yes.
And he was one of the pioneers of Antarctica.
Ooh.
He was almost the first person to reach the South Pole.
Is this the same time as like Admiral Byrd and stuff?
Before Admiral Byrd.
Before?
I'm pretty sure it was before Admiral Byrd.
Okay.
Not long before, but because Admiral Byrd was sort of around the Second World War, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Ernest Shackleton was around the First World War and in between the two Great Wars.
Mm.
So he kind of beat Admiral Byrd there. But yeah, he didn't quite make the first man to the South Pole. When he failed, he wanted to be the first man to cross Antarctica coast to coast.
Whew, okay.
I'm not even sure if he ever actually managed that. But around about 1914-15, he purchased a ship called the Endeavour and set off to Antarctica.
Mm.
I can't remember if that was his second trip or his third trip. He made several trips there.
Why?
Just to explore the place.
But it's nothing but ice and snow, pirates.
It is, it is.
So we've been told.
So we've been told, yeah. And yeah, there's not a lot of proof other than ice and snow, apart from the dry valleys and the Admiral Byrd story, which we've already covered.
Yeah, yeah.
But Ernest Shackleton, yeah, he took his ship down there, 1915.
Cool.
And unfortunately, before they got too far, I think this was probably the time that they wanted to actually cross from coast to coast. They didn't get to the mainland of Antarctica. Because the ship got caught up in like floating ice that then turned into what's known as pack ice. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Do you know like when you see on the television or on films or whatever when a ship is in sort of Arctic waters and you see lots of like thousands and thousands of little icebergs, only a few meters across or whatever, and they're all floating around and the ship's trying to sort of crunch through them.
Yes.
And as the weather gets colder, what happens is all of those little icebergs tend to fuse together.
Yeah.
And what then happens is that becomes one giant sheet of what's known as pack ice.
Mm, not good for boats.
Not great for boats. It stalled them to start with. And obviously, as water freezes, it expands. So the more pack ice that you've got surrounding your boat is literally just squeezing your boat, because that's the only space it's got to expand into, is Ooh. Where your boat is. So obviously that cracked the hull, and the Endeavour sadly sank.
That's not good.
Not great at all, is it?
No.
So Ernest Shackleton and his crew actually spent several months literally camping on the ice sheets until the ice started thawing. As if this wasn't bad enough luck, the ice started thawing and they got nowhere to camp anymore. Luckily, they did rescue the lifeboats.
That's good.
But obviously, up until this point, lifeboats are no good to you because you can't sail them across sheet ice.
Yeah, it'd be like tents.
So fortunately, they did, you know, they managed to jump in the lifeboats. Every single one of them survived. And they headed north-ish. And until they came across, I've got to remember this, because did I write it down? I can't remember. They came across a place called Elephant Island.
Right.
Don't ask me why it's called Elephant Island, because it's literally just off the coast of Antarctica.
Is it shaped like an elephant?
It might be. That's the only thing. Because elephants wouldn't survive in the Arctic or in the Antarctic, or just in cold conditions. I mean, when you think about it, an elephant is not vast amount dissimilar to a mammoth. But a mammoth is designed for cold conditions, whereas an elephant is designed for warm conditions.
Yeah, I've always just thought elephants were shaven mammoths.
No, very much not. Because, mammoths obviously had, well, they call them woolly mammoths, don't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they had, like, thick wool to help against, you know, the cold. Mm-hmm. But also they had smaller, thicker ears. Because elephants in, like, Africa and in Asia, the Asian and African elephants, they actually use their big frondy ears to expel heat from their bodies.
Oh.
which is why
something new every day.
If the Earth suddenly fell back into an ice age, all the elephants that are in like temperate countries, you know, like the UK or something, in a safari park, would probably struggle quite a lot because their ears would freeze and they'd get frostbite and they wouldn't like it very much.
Yeah. I've got a question.
Okay.
Do penguins live in the Antarctic?
Penguins do live in the Antarctic, yeah.
But polar bears don't, is that right?
Polar bears are north. Penguins are south.
Ah.
That's why polar bears don't eat penguins.
We've covered this already, haven't we?
I think so.
I feel like this is deja vu.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay, that was all I was wondering.
Right, so having landed on Elephant Island, now Elephant Island, there's not a lot there. It's an Arctic island. But he left his crew on the island with all pretty much all of their reserves, all their food, you know. And he literally took two men with him because no one knew whether they were there. No one knew what would happen to them. This is, you know, 1915. I don't think they even had a radio on the ship. So they had to somehow contact the outside world. So Ernest Shackleton and two of his bravest men sailed on in the lifeboats another 720 nautical miles.
Whoa.
Nautical miles are longer than land miles.
Yeah.
So that's like 800 miles.
Oof.
Over some of the roughest, coldest seas you could imagine.
That is brave.
Very brave. I'm not sure how long it took. It might have taken them like weeks. Or maybe even months.
Yeah.
I don't know. But they landed on a small island in the South Atlantic called South Georgia. Ooh. Not to be confused with the American state.
Atlanta, Georgia.
No. Mm. This is South Atlantic, South Georgia. And it is a small, very depressing looking island. I've looked at it on Google Maps. And I can assure you there isn't a scarier place that you can imagine going to.
Is it worse than Elephant Island?
I think so. I'd never actually looked at Elephant Island, to be honest. But South Georgia was unmapped at the time.
Wow.
Covered in mountains, glaciers, frozen. Like, the whole thing is just covered in snow. And like I say, no cartographer had been there to map it out. And they landed on the south side of the island. The only thing they knew was that on the north side of the island was a whaling station. Because whaling was still a thing back then.
Okay.
So
they would need to get to the north of that island.
Yeah.
To see if there was some sort of help.
Yes.
Because there's nothing in the south.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So off they set across unmapped terrain, climbing mountains, going down into ravines, without any professional climbing equipment or, jeez, you know, proper expedition gear. Remember, this was literally like 1916.
So they're out of the boat at this point. They're walking, climbing.
Yeah. I don't think their lifeboat could take them much further.
Whew. Okay. I would not want to be old Shackleton at this point.
No, definitely not. Or one of his two mates. And for 36 hours, they trekked across unknown terrain, not knowing entirely where they were going, until they finally reached a whaling station and managed to put out an SOS call on the radio at the whaling station for someone to come and help.
Mm.
And eventually someone did, and he boarded a ship and took that ship back to Elephant Island and rescued every single one of his crew.
That's pretty cool. It's a hero.
Impressive, isn't it?
Mm.
It was on South Georgia, well, in that 36-hour trek, that Ernest Shackleton said he experienced this thing that we now call third man syndrome. And he was quoted to say, "I felt like there was a fourth among the team."
Oh, okay. Yeah?
Now, this is one of the first documented cases of third man syndrome. You know, like proper documented cases, not just someone saying, "Oh, I think my guardian angel helped me there."
Yeah.
You know, and it was.
So he visually thought there was someone there.
Yeah. Yeah, he you know, it was almost like someone, another person in the corner of his eye that was there with him. And all three of the team apparently experienced this.
Wow.
And they were so certain about this phenomenon that they had all experienced it, that it inspired a poet of the time, or a little bit later. This is the thing, Ernest Shackleton, after this massively brave event, pretty much disappeared in the history books for years and years and years, until he was actually brought back to the limelight for this act of bravery.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like frostbite got him.
No. He did. He actually died on South Georgia Island.
No,
and is buried there. Yeah, on the next trip that he took to try and go to Antarctica, he never actually made it there. He died of a heart attack on South Georgia.
So did he name it South Georgia then?
No, I don't think he did.
Because if you discover it and it's not on the map, surely you get a chance to name it.
Well, he didn't discover it because he was after the whaling station that was already there, so it had already been discovered, hadn't it?
Oh, it just wasn't on the map.
It was on a map, but the actual island itself, the internal of the island, hadn't been mapped. No one had named the mountains. No one had looked into the ravines and see where they go, or climbed the glaciers or anything like that. So it was just never been populated.
So it's almost like they kind of saw whales there, set up like a little port, and then they were like, that'll do. Don't worry about the rest of the island.
Just basically, somewhere for them to dock a boat if they needed it to get away from rough seas or whatever.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
And pick up supplies, whatnot. And like I said, this event inspired a poet of around that time called T.S. Eliot. Have you ever heard of him?
Tuberculosis Syndrome Eliot.
I'm sure some people would have heard of T.S. Eliot. He's quite a famous poet.
Oh, Thick Snake. No, I know who you're talking about now. Thick Snake Eliot. Yeah.
Yeah. And he wrote a poem, or I think it's only a short poem. I think they call him a stanza or something like that. And it was called The Wasteland. And I've got it here on my phone, because I didn't want to write all this down. I've got some other references that I want to make. And yeah, it's called a stanza. And it reads like this. Who is the third who walks always beside you? When I count, there are only you and I together. But when I look ahead up the white road, there is always another one walking beside you, gliding, wrapped in brown mantle, hooded. I do not know whether a man or a woman, but who is that on the other side of you? That's the poem.
Hmm.
It doesn't rhyme, but it's still a poem or a stanza.
Nah, not quite.
What's up?
Sell my car in Carvana. It's just not quite the right time.
Crazy coincidence. I just sold my car to Carvana.
What? I told you about it 2 days ago.
When you know, you know. You know? I'm even dropping it off at one of those sweet car vending machines and getting paid today.
That's a good deal.
Oh, great deal. Come on. What's your heart saying?
You're right. When you know,
you know.
Sold.
Whether you're looking to sell your car right now or just whenever feels right, go to Carvana.com and sell your car the convenient way. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
But that is what inspired it to be called Third Man Syndrome, because in the first line, who is the third who walks always beside you? That's why they called it Third Man Syndrome, or the Third Man Factor.
So it doesn't necessarily matter how many people are with you. If you see another person there helping you, it's called the Third Man Syndrome after the poem about the story.
Yeah, about Ernest Shackleton's amazing story, where he claimed to experience this exact phenomenon.
That does make sense. I like it.
Yeah?
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of like an oasis. You know, when people get in a desert and they see...
How?
Because it's like imagery. You're imagining.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. So you're seeing something that really could help you at the time.
Yeah. What did you think I meant? The band or the drink Oasis?
I was just thinking Arctic Oasis in a desert.
So you're imagining like another person helping you, but then people that are in like desperation, they imagine like water and palm trees and things, don't they? An oasis. And,
yeah. And so not only that, actually, because. When I was looking into this, I came across a website known as BuzzFeed.com.
Ah, I've heard of that.
You've heard of BuzzFeed? Yeah.
Yeah.
And earlier this year, actually, January 2024, one of the reporters from BuzzFeed, Angelica Martinez, she actually wrote an article. It said, I just learned about third man syndrome, can't stop thinking about it. So here are 23 stories from people who have experienced it themselves. Basically, she put it out on BuzzFeed.com for all of the fans of the website to write in with their own stories of experiencing third man syndrome, or you know, their own sort of little stories about their guardian angels helping them.
Yes.
And I say, she lists 23 of them. And I have just noted down some of my favourites, which I'm going to go for you through now.
Nice.
So, I know one of these I want to keep until the end, but I can't remember which one it is.
That's all right then. Yeah.
Okay, so this one is... It's anonymous. Most of them are anonymous. They don't have names for me to attribute them to. So thank you to whoever actually wrote in anonymously with these stories. But the first one says, I'm disabled and I survived the attacks on the Twin Towers. I was buried under the debris for about 15 hours, but I was never alone. I kept hearing from a voice that said his name was Michael. When I was at my weakest, he would just keep talking to me. When I was rescued, I found out that there was never a man named Michael anywhere in the area. I still wonder if the voice was that's what saved me from becoming another death on that terrible day.
I've actually heard that one. I've heard that one before about the person under the rubble.
Yeah,
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, like I say, I don't know who wrote most of these, so that most of them are anonymous. This is another one. When my husband was in his 20s, he fell asleep while driving and crashed into a telephone pole. He was hurt and remembered a teenage kid knocking on his window and telling him he called the police and not to get out of the car because there were live wires everywhere. When my husband was finally rescued, there was no sign of the kid. The police said that no one had called them. They just came because the power was out. Not only that, but they said there was no way anyone could have gotten close to the car on account of the wires, and if my husband had tried to get out of the car, it probably would have killed him.
Mm.
My husband so vividly remembers the kid. He believes he was real, but his mum believes it was a guardian angel.
Mm. See, now we're getting into territory of, are they angels? Are they ghosts? Who knows?
Who is it? You know, it's very interesting. This is another one. I think this is a girl... Oh, yeah, this one was from Joanna, Georgia, USA. This one is not anonymous. Thank you, Joanna, for writing into BuzzFeed, and I'm stealing your story.
Nice.
She says, I was driving back to college my freshman year and got totally lost in a heavily wooded area. This was before GPS and cell phones, so I was just stuck on these roads alone. I couldn't find my way back to the highway. I couldn't find my way back to the highway I was looking for, and as the sun set, a huge storm broke out. And it started pouring rain. The rain was so heavy I could barely see the road. Suddenly a house with all the lights on appeared. It was the only house I had seen for miles, so against my better judgment, I parked the car and went running for the door. The house had a fence but no gate to open, so I hopped the fence and started banging on the door, asking for help. A woman opened the door and invited me inside. The house was empty except for a beanbag chair in the kitchen. She said they had just moved in and her husband had left to get something. So it was just us. I was soaking wet, so she offered me a change of clothes and poured me a cup of tea. She let me use her phone to call my parents, but they didn't answer, so I left her number on the machine so they could call her back and thank her. She said I was really close to the highway, but understood I had already had a rough night, so she offered to drive and guide me to the highway so that I wouldn't get lost again. Turns out, if I had just kept driving another minute up the road, I would have hit the highway anyway. My mum called the number I gave the next day, but we got an error saying the number did not exist. Despite having driven that road many times later in my college career, I never saw that house again.
So now it's going to third houses, not just third people. See, that's more of a mirage, isn't it? Surely.
Yeah.
That's more of a, like, Oasis.
It may be.
Mirage.
I don't know. I mean, it could be that she just fell asleep in the car and the whole thing was a dream and she woke up and carried on driving for an extra minute down the road. Who knows?
Yes, yeah. But that's not very mysterious.
No. This is one that I want to keep to the end. So
okay.
I'm just going to skip by that one and I'll come back. Remember, it was number 10.
Number 10. Downing Street.
No, not Downing Street. Okay, so here's another one that I noted down. I was driving on a somewhat rural road. You'll get a theme here.
Lost.
Yeah, somewhat rural road in a very windy winter's day. The snow was being whipped across the road and a sudden gust of wind hit the back end of my car. This caused me to fishtail and I lost control. I shot across oncoming traffic, off an embankment and rolled the car into a field. I was airborne. And I felt someone sitting next to me in the passenger seat. After the car flipped 360 degrees and slammed back down on the tyres, I heard a voice in my head tell me I was unharmed and felt a gentle caress across my forehead. Once I had determined my neck wasn't broken and I could move, I saw that I was covered in windshield glass. It was everywhere except the passenger seat. There was only bits of glass around the edges of the seat, like someone had been sitting there. I didn't have a scratch or bruise on me. The police officers and the tow truck driver couldn't believe I was uninjured, given the state of my car. Since then, I've tried extra hard to be a better human to repay who or whatever saved me that day.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty creepy, though, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I like that one.
Ooh.
An outline, if you will.
So, I've only got a couple more. Let me just find this one. Okay. I was in the... Oh, crikey. How do you pronounce that? I was in the Uyuni Desert in Bolivia.
I know it well.
Yeah. Doing a four-day tour in the salty desert. My mum, my uncle, three of my friends, a guide, and I were in a jeep.
The salty desert?
Salty desert, yeah. That's what it says.
Oh. Okay.
Like salt flats, I guess, or something like that. Well, I don't know if they were flats. I mean, they were going. They said they were heading up to the geysers at 5,000 metres in altitude. And that's like 15,000 feet. That's pretty high. You'd be suffering altitude sickness at that sort of altitude. And fair enough, they were. My body didn't handle the altitude and lack of oxygen well. And I started vomiting and fainting so much we had to stop the car. Being in this situation for too long can kill you due to the lack of oxygen in your brain and lungs, so we were quite stressed. Out of nowhere, a couple appeared on a tandem bike.
Oh, that's normal.
They were French, like me, and were crossing the desert like that. Long story short, they just so happened to have the exact right pill to help me with my sickness. They gave me a pill, I got back in the car, and when we turned back to wave at them, they were nowhere to be found. Everyone saw them, but they were completely gone in an instant. My mum believes they were sent by a guardian angel.
Okay.
Out of interest, do you know what that pill might be?
Yes. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the pill. I don't know what it's called, but I know the pill.
You do. You know what it's called. You know exactly what it is.
No, I don't. No, go on.
Viagra.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I wasn't thinking of that.
Yeah, yeah. It stops your brain hemorrhaging, apparently, in altitude sickness. Viagra does.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Viagra. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Strange, eh?
That is literally not what I was thinking.
Yeah. Okay, so only two more to go now. In 2010... my husband and I were barreling down a highway at unsafe speeds in the pouring rain. We were really young and arguing over how much he'd spent on a new TV.
Oh, yeah.
Suddenly, we began hydroplaning. You know, when the car just kind of skids across the water on the surface of the road?
Yeah.
The car went sideways on the highway and then straightened back out. There was a semi coming, that's a big lorry, for those of us who are English, coming out of a subdivision, and we barely missed hitting it. We started heading straight for a small group of trees. I reached back and grabbed the front of our very young son's car seat, thinking somehow I was protecting him. I looked at my husband and he said, "I love you," as if he was never going to say it again. And it was like everything suddenly slowed down for a moment. I remember hearing this voice that sounded urgent saying, "You have to pick up your legs. You have to pick up your legs now." I immediately pulled them into the front seat in front of me. I looked forward and time was no longer slowed down. I watched in horror as we headed straight for the trees and slammed into them. The next thing I remember is a wave of pain shooting up my spine. I threw my head back and screamed. I also quickly realized that my foot was hurting, but was stuck. The floorboard had pushed upwards, meeting the dashboard. The dashboard was pushed backwards into my seat. My right foot had slipped out of the seat and was stuck between the dashboard and my seat. I eventually managed to dislodge it and was broken. It was broken in 3 places, and my back was broken in 5.
Oh.
I've been permanently disabled ever since. My husband also broke his right femur in half. Jeez. Luckily, our young son was unharmed. We believe we hit the trees at about 80 miles an hour, at least. If I hadn't picked up my legs when I did, then I would have been completely crushed. I may live a life of constant pain and be slowly losing my ability to walk from a disease I developed from the accident, but it's not a life that I'd take for granted anymore. Everyone that has seen the pictures of the car says how lucky we are to be alive. They really have no idea how right they are.
But didn't they admit to speeding in the first thing?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it kind of was their fault, I suppose. But, you know, but still, you know, I mean, kudos to the entity or whatever it was that told her to pick up her legs, because, you know, she could have lost them.
Yeah, so in that situation, I'm guessing it was just a voice that came through.
Yeah. Not everybody necessarily sees a person.
Mm.
Much like this one. This is my last one, because this one was actually my favourite on the list.
Number 10.
Number 10. It may not be... Maybe some people less think it's less dramatic, but I actually thought this one was probably the closest call. So, years ago, I was heading back by train from my parents' house to university. It was late, and I had my head resting on the window with my eyes closed. Suddenly, a voice started telling me to move. It got louder and more urgent. When I opened my eyes, there was no one yelling at me on the train. The other few passengers were all minding their own business. The voice in my head got louder and louder and more urgent. I felt silly moving, but finally I couldn't ignore the voice any longer, so I scooted a seat over and sat upright. And just as I did, a bullet came through the train window and lodged into the seat next to me, right where my head had been. I'd have been done for had I stayed where I was.
Well, where is flying bullets just coming from? Just someone shooting
trains? I'm guessing this is in the States.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there's nowhere else that has that. Yeehaw!
Yeah. Let's just fire them off willy-nilly.
We're going to go train shooting today, boy.
But no, I mean, there's some stories of, like, genuine people who have had, well, we could call it third man syndrome or guardian angels helping them in times of great peril, much like Ernest Shackleton said that he felt that he was not alone and he had support there as he was going. And much like many mountain climbers, particularly, like I said, coming full circle back to, like, the Dolomites, there's been lots of people that have claimed to experience this phenomenon where they feel like there's someone there encouraging them, telling them what to do, how to get out of a situation where they're stuck on a ledge or, you know, whatever the situation is.
The most famous one, I don't know if you mentioned it. So there was a guy called Luke and he was going towards the extraction point of the Death Star. And... he heard a voice say,
"Use the force,
use the force."
Yeah, yeah.
And if it wasn't for Ben Kenobi telling Luke to use the force,
he would have relied on his visual aids and completely missed the shot.
So, I mean, it's been in history. It's there.
Yeah, it's there in recorded cinematography.
Yeah, yeah. That's the most famous case I've heard of, anyway.
Yeah.
I tried to go as long as I could trying to think of words that wouldn't give it away, but I can't.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one. I liked it. So what do you reckon? Third man syndrome. What would you give it?
Oh.
Do you believe it?
I do actually believe it, because I've... Not just the stories that you read, but there's a lot of stories about that kind of thing. There must be some sort of like crossover to like the spiritual world, because I've heard very similar stories of, I suppose it is the same thing, where there was a girl lost in the woods, and I think we said it on the podcast, a little girl told her to how to get out of the woods. And then she found out that there was a girl that had passed away years before in the woods.
Yeah, I think we did mention that.
So that's kind of like a crossover between like spirituality and ghosts and third person. So I do believe in it. I think it's pretty cool. I'm going to give it a 9 flat.
9 flat?
Yeah.
Oh, fair play.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 9 flat.
Fair play.
Yeah. I think that's pretty good.
It's pretty good. I was thinking about it for a while, and I thought about 8.7.
Yeah.
Because I do believe it, and I do think it's a very cool phenomena, and I do believe that people genuinely believe that they've had these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, like the bullet one, I don't know how else to explain that. When you just shoot yourself out of the way just as a bullet explodes through the window of a train and lodges into the seat next to you, that's either extremely good luck or something phenomenal has happened to you. I think in some cases it could be imagination run wild. In some cases it's fight or flight sort of syndrome. You know, I've got to action or inaction. What do I do? I've got to make an action to save my life, like the story of the car that crushed the woman's foot and the husband's legs. I mean, when time slows down like that, is it someone telling you to do that, or is it your own brain just thinking, "Oh my, I've got to do something here"? Yeah, you know. Yeah. So you know, I'm not going up into the nines, but I think 8.7, I think is fair.
Do you think some of it as well could be like what you're lacking? So like you said about the tandem bike one, they have altitude sickness and stuff
and needed Viagra pill to stop him from having brain hemorrhage. Yeah,
I bet he had the best night of his life after that. So, do you think it's also like something where your brain is kind of playing tricks on yourself in a way? Do you know what I mean?
Maybe, but then how did he manifest a Viagra pill out of nowhere?
He definitely already had them. That's just a story, because he got caught with Viagra.
You knew what they were for?
Yeah. I reckon he just got caught with Viagra. Oh, I didn't have these. A French couple on a tandem bike.
No, it could save your life. You take it.
What am I supposed to do? Just turn them down? No, I had to take them. No, I don't know. I think it's very, 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 very cool. Before we go, though, I've actually got something to say that is actually kind of similar to Third Man.
Oh, go for it.
And this happened literally Saturday, just gone. Now, if I may get personal a little bit, we have a friend who is in the hospice. And we've both seen him in hospital.
Yeah, I went to see him before I went away.
Yeah, so I saw him... Yeah, just after you. Now, there was a moment in the hospital, where I'm talking to him and he's closing his eyes and chatting to me and everything. And his wife had gone off to make me a cup of tea. And I did offer to do it myself, but she said, no, you sit there and you chat and everything. But in between, I was talking to him he was closing his eyes and things, so I didn't want to stop him from getting rest or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So I turned to look at the garden bit.
Outside the window,
outside the window, because I heard some birds and things, and I thought, oh, this is actually quite a nice place.
It is quite a pleasant place, that hospice.
And as I turned my head at the profiterole of my vision, I saw, and there was like an empty bed there with the curtains kind of half drawn.
Yeah.
And I'm not even joking, I am one step closer to believing in something after death. I saw, not a full apparition or anything, but what can only be described as like a light shadow for 2 seconds, and it looked the size of like a person kind of walk from like the edge of the bed out to the garden.
Right.
For about 2 seconds. I don't know what it was, but I just... There was something there, like whether it was energy. It
honestly doesn't surprise me. The room that he was in, this is the very same room that was the last place I saw my mum.
That would be tough for you then as well. Yeah. So I imagine it's one of those places where...
Not the same bed, I was glad of that.
Yeah, that's good then. I think there's probably a lot of, obviously, death that happens in those places. So I don't know what it was, man. It was some sort of energy, some sort of like translucent.
You finally saw something.
Something. There was something there, and I wasn't. And the weird thing is, I felt pretty calm about it. I didn't freak out. I wasn't like, oh, that was definitely a ghost or anything. It was just that was something. I don't know what it was, but there was cool, something there. So I'm not 50-50 anymore. I'm 60-40.
Oh, fair play.
So I just thought I'd just add that in, because it's kind of, well, similar to, like, the...
Seeing an apparition is, yeah, similar. I mean, you weren't necessarily in great peril, but you were in distress, I would imagine. You know, feeling emotional, so...
Yeah. Yeah, so it was only about 2 seconds, but there was something. I don't know. There was just something.
Fair play.
So it gives me kind of hope for something after this crazy world, when we go beyond and we pass away. Is there something there?
I'm going to put it to the people at home and say, you know, write into us. Let us know if you think there is something there that guides you in your times of need. Let us know, paranormality.uk@gmail.com, or you can join us on our Discord, or you can comment on the podcast itself on Spotify and YouTube and possibly some other places, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Let us know. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, thanks for the love and support, everyone.
Yeah, thank you very much. You've been awesome to us. We're coming up on our 2-year anniversary.
Cool.
It's not long now, only a few weeks left, and... We've got to think of a Halloween special. We've both been so busy lately, we haven't thought of a Halloween special. I've got something in mind that would fit in with last year's theme.
Oh, okay. It's not smelling salts and electric machines.
No, definitely not.
Good.
You know.
Okay.
I'll run it by you after the episode. But yeah, let us know what you think we should do for our anniversary, or, you know. If you've got any suggestions, let us know. We're all ears. Same email address, same way of getting in contact.
Yeah.
And until next time, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
This has been Paranormality UK. I might have COVID. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta. Ta-ta from the third person.
Even the busiest of holiday schedules is no match for Alo Moves, the streaming wellness platform where you can sculpt your muscles, unwind with a yoga class, or even learn the art of awareness with their latest meditation offerings. On demand, whenever works for you. And right now, for Cyber Week, you can get almost 40% off your 1-year membership with great deals on 6-month and monthly memberships too. Start saving today at alomoves.com. alomoves.com.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST at checkout.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.